hello, church. I'm so glad that you are joining in. This is week 9 of our home editions. It's crazy to think that it's been that long, but here we are, and I want to just, I hope that you are encouraged this morning as we worship together, and as we read through God's word, as we pray together, as we hear updates from various people. I believe you're going to be encouraged, and so let's just join our hearts together as we come before the Lord this morning in worship.
Well, good morning, Devonshire Church. It is a wonderful morning to be able to worship our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I wanted to encourage us by reading a verse out of 1 Thessalonians. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17. But as for us, brothers and sisters, after we were forced to leave you for a short time, in person, not in heart, we greatly desired and made every effort to return and see you face to face. You better believe that it is my desire, each one of our desire, to be able to return together and to be able to see each other face to face. But for now, we have the gift that the first century church did not have of internet and being able to come together in our hearts, come together to worship Jesus Christ. And so to start us off with this call to worship, we just want to rally around God's word. We want to hear how this psalmist here in Psalm 75 leads us to understanding our steady, our constant, our loving Father. So this is Psalm 75, verses 1 through 3. We give thanks to you, God. We give thanks to you, for your name is near. People tell about your wondrous works. When I choose a time, I will judge fairly. When the earth and all its inhabitants shake, I am the one who steadies its pillars. Amen. Let's pray and turn our attention to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are steady, and that you are constant. You are a rock in times of uncertainty. Lord, you are sovereign over all things. That when the earth and all its inhabitants shake, God, you are the one who steadies the foundation of the world. And so this morning we look to you. We look to you to sing your praises, to point to your holiness, to sing of your glory, to sing of your beauty, and to learn more about who you are, God. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would be with each one of us as we're watching, wherever we're watching from, that your Holy Spirit would speak to us and be working in our lives. God, we give you praise. We give you all the glory that you are due. Pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing. Thank you.
Hebrews 4:12 tells us that the Word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So how do we respond? Again, we may turn to God's Word for His guidance. But He's already made it plain how to live, what to do, what God is looking for in men and women. It's quite simple. Do what is fair and just to your neighbor. Be compassionate and loyal in your love. And don't take yourself too seriously. Take God seriously. This comes from Micah 6:8, The Message.
Stand with joy before you. To the my soul continually remembers, and it is bowed down within me. But this I call to my mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Lamentations 3:20-24. As we have just read, the love that God our Father has for us never ends, and he has great faithfulness towards us, his children. It is the steadfast love of the Lord that gives us hope, knowing that we can trust in our Father who knows you, loves you, and keeps you.
Well, this morning there's just two announcements that I wanted to share with you, and I want to thank you all very much for your feedback over the past few weeks. In different ways, it is a joy to hear of the different ways that you're serving and loving the people that God has put around you. So this morning there's one way specifically that I want to ask you to consider to be a part of. I'm putting together a care team that throughout this next week or two, I want to just try to put together a team of people to connect with those in our church family by making phone calls. And so if you enjoy doing that kind of thing, I want to ask you to text the word CARE to a number that we'll have on the next screen following these few announcements. That being said, one of the ways that I'm trying to make it easier for us to just know how things are going and in the ways that we are engaging or not engaging, we're using this text feature in which you can text to this number. It's always going to be the same number, and that's on the next screen. And you can text a word, and it'll bring you to a place where you can check in and let us know that you viewed this video. And also, you can text the word donate to donate and to give. It'll take you to the links, the appropriate links for that. Or you can text the word connect if you're a first-time guest and you want to let us know that you joined in with us. If you have, we're so glad that you've chosen to join with us, and I hope that your time here with us has been a blessing. Also, I just want to thank you for just your faithfulness in giving through these times, just your commitment to being faithful to stewarding the resources that God has given you and to giving back to his church in this way and to his people and to his work around the globe is a blessing. And so thank you so much for that. And so here we're going to take about the next minute, just take a break, and on the screen before you we'll have the information on who to text and how to text and what word to use. And so if you need a break, go get your coffee or whatever it is before we dig into God's word. I'll see you back here in about a minute. Last week, we started working through a series entitled The Waiting Room. During these days, we are waiting for things to change, things to move forward. For some of us, these days have been more hectic than ever. The stresses, the anxiety, the projects, the things that need to be done, there's just plenty. The list goes on and on. But for some of us, these are days where it's been a much-needed pause or a break that has happened where we find ourselves. Either way, we're in a season of waiting. As we looked at Psalm 13 last week, we were reminded that even whenever we are in the hardest of places, whenever maybe like David as he cried out how long, O Lord, was in despair and he felt so distant from the Lord and he was longing for the Lord's nearness and longing to see him move in our lives, that even then we were reminded that he's working. And we've got to remember that he is good. We got to remember his goodness, because even in the midst of those days when it is hard, we can sing for joy because we know that he is faithful and that he has dealt bountifully with us. But there's something else that I believe that the Lord wants to do during these days of waiting in our lives. In the read through the Bible plan that myself and a few others are journeying through, this year, we found ourselves in 1 Samuel this past week. And I was reminded as I read through of the story of Samuel and how and the idea of learning to listen to the Lord's voice seemed to be something that just kept coming to the forefront this week for me in my conversations and as I spent time with the Lord. Here I'm sitting in my garage and I'm looking out. You can see the driveway and there's two cars behind me. And for us here at our house, maybe it's different for you. Maybe your home is pretty quiet. You're in a different season or place in life than Kristen and I are. But we, during this time, there's 8 of us in the house right now and it is loud. There's plenty of noise going on. And sometimes, maybe we just need to head out for a drive so that we can get some quiet and see something different and get some space to think. I don't know if you've ever done that during these days. It's a little too cold, maybe some of the days were too cold, and just being in a car gave the ability to get out and get some space. One of the things I love to do whenever I'm out driving around is get some time to listen, and I think that's one of the things that I want to encourage us to do during these days in our relationship with the Lord and to remember that. I remember one time I was praying with my kids and they were just doing a lot of asking. And they were, I was asking them, what were they praying for? I recognized that it was a lot of asking God for things. That's fine. But I realized that they needed to be reminded that God isn't just someone that we go to whenever we need something, not like a Santa Claus or a vending machine, but that it is a dynamic personal relationship. And so I asked each of the kids that night what God had been saying to them, and each of them would look at me and say, Dad, what do you mean? I can't hear God's voice. How do I hear God's voice? It's not like I can just hear him talking to me like I hear you talking to me. It got me thinking, and here's what I want for us. I want to just encourage us that we don't know, that we go from knowing of God, that we go to knowing God. And that's my heart's prayer. That's my desire for us as a church family, that we would be a people who don't just know of God, but that we know him. Do we get this? That this relationship with God is as real and it is as personal as any other relationship we have. The Christian life, it is about relationship. For some of us, that's an important reminder because it's so easy to forget and move towards thinking that the Christian life is about following a set of morals, a kind of behaviors, that it's about getting to heaven, that it's about being saved from hell, that it's about going to church, it's about giving our finances. The list goes on and on. And those things may be true, they might be fine, they might be good. They may be a part of a Christian's life, but the main thing that the Christian life is about is that it's about a relationship with Jesus and knowing him more, about growing in him more, about becoming more like him. And that all happens through a relationship with him where there is listening and there is hearing, just like in any other relationship. So here's my question. In these days, are you listening? Are you hearing his voice? I hope so. Because I know in these days, for some of us, at least maybe more so at first, we felt how so much had been stripped away and how we weren't able to do a lot of the activities and the things that we had on our schedules. We felt that we had so much extra time and space. But little by little, we found ways to fill the void with busyness somehow. But I don't want you to miss the opportunity to take advantage of the quiet. Here's what I want to ask. And here's what I want us to think about. If you aren't listening and hearing his voice, then the Christian life can become drudgery. And really, how can we grow in Christ and our love for our Savior if we aren't knowing him more? I hope this morning as we've worshiped together that you've heard him telling you, I love you. 1 John 3, verse 1 says this, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. It's an amazing thing. We might think that God is so big and that there's no way that he would care about my individual needs and what I'm journeying through right now. But it's because he is so great. that he's interested in our personal lives. This morning you might be here and say, yeah, I need that. I want to grow. I need to hear his voice in my life. But it seems as though he's far away, that he's distant, and you can't get to him. Maybe your devotional time has whittled down from a time that you once looked forward to a time that just doesn't even happen anymore. Where there isn't time for God, your prayer life has become a sentence prayer before meals. For others of us, maybe you're a busy parent and you're pulled in all kinds of different directions. It seems like there's always someone else to take care of, and the idea of sitting down and being with the Lord keeps getting pushed away, and it's hard to get there, no matter how hard you'd love to have just some quiet to yourself. I want you to know the Lord is calling out to you, and he wants you to know his love, his compassion, that he is a father who is rejoicing and singing over you with love. Our God says in Jeremiah 23, 29, 13, that you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. Our God promises that as we seek him with sincere hearts, we're going to find him. What a great promise. And so in this time of waiting, know that the Lord hasn't left us all alone. At times it may feel as though this God has hid from us and he can't be found. In this time of waiting, know that the Lord hasn't left us all alone. At times, and there are those times, it may feel as though God is hid from us and he can't be found, but we can know that we are seeking a God after a God who has hid in such a way that he can be found. So this morning, I want to ask you to take your Bibles and let's turn to 1 Samuel 3. And we're going to look at the story of a boy named Samuel who heard God's voice. And I just want to look at a few characteristics of the person who hears God's voice. So let's read this together. 1 Samuel 3 says this, "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. And at that time Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, 'Here I am.' And he ran to Eli, and he said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' But he said, 'I did not call. Lie down again.' And so he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, 'Samuel.' And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' But he said, 'I did not call, my son. Lie down again.' And now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' And then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, 'Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." And so Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." And then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel, at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. And on that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from the beginning to the end, and declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by the sacrifice or offering forever." So Samuel lay until morning, and then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel, and he said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." And so Samuel told him everything, and he hid nothing from him, and he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." And so Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for, God, your promises that are true and that we can trust you. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who speaks. And Lord, help us to listen and help us to hear now. Lord, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, there's four characteristics today that I want to remind us of those and what it means and how it is that we can learn to listen to the Lord. Firstly, we see an important characteristic of a person who's drawing near to hearing the voice of God in that of having a childlike heart. In the very first two words of this chapter, we're told about the boy, about the young man. Samuel was probably about 12 years old. He may have been a little bit older, but he was probably around that age. And what we see here is that God didn't use some wise sage or well-known person to be the way in which he's about to bring life back to the people of Israel. God was being true to form. And God works through the unexpected. Throughout Scripture, that's what we see time and time again. It's characteristic of the Bible. And God here is speaking to, and he's going to speak through, a child. This is a normal way that God seems to work. Jesus even says in regards to that we need to become like a child in Mark chapter 10, verse 15. Children are open. Children are receptive. The kingdom of God must be received as a gift. It's not something that is to be earned. And when we talk about being childlike, we're not talking about being childish or it's not an age thing. What we're talking about is a heart in which we come to God. Spiritually, as we come before God, let's come before him in awe of who he is and all that he has done, that we would be awed by his creation, not thinking that we have it all figured out or that we've seen it all, but that we would be amazed by his love, that we would be astonished at how he speaks to us through his word. That's what having a childlike heart is all about. It's about crying out for grace like a hungry child. Because as soon as I begin simply asking for help, I have become like a little child again. Both the child and the cynic walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But there's a difference here between the cynic and the child. The cynic focuses on the darkness. The child is focusing on the shepherd. So we need to have childlike hearts. But secondly, we need to be obedient no matter what the circumstances are. I want to help you get a picture of the times whenever this passage was written about. Verse 1 says that in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. These days were a time of stagnation. They were a time of spiritual stupor. There was a dullness going on, a formality, mere routine was going on religiously. And if you can imagine what it could have been like for one's faith to consist of no enthusiasm, sincerity, heart, or spirit, you would begin to get an idea of what this time and what this place in Israel's history was like. It was kind of like this was the kind of time that Samuel was ministering before the Lord in. And I pray that these are not those kind of times. My prayer is that in these days that many are growing in their trust and their reliance on their Lord. I've heard stories of how the gospel is being shared more than ever around the globe and how many are coming to faith. But I know that the reality is that as much as ever, we need a spiritual reawakening. I also know that in the Christian life, there are also times of spiritual drought, just like David was writing of last week as we looked at Psalm 13. And some of you may feel like you're in that place right now with the Lord. Maybe God seems distant and silent. Maybe you're longing to get back to a point, to a place in which you have that passion, in which your heart is deeply involved in communing with the Lord. I want to encourage you in that. Keep on seeking his face. Keep trusting. Keep on believing. Keep on listening. Trust that in those times that God is at work, that he's shaping and he's making us into something that he couldn't do otherwise. That is even better, even when we can't understand it, and that he is working towards something in ways that are better for us than we could even know. If you're having trouble spending time in prayer and scripture, I want to remind you not to look at those as disciplines, as something that you have to do or you should do, but to look at them as a privilege, as something you get to do, that you get to sit at the feet of the Creator of the universe who loves you, What an awesome thought, isn't it? To think and to know that someone of such power would be mindful of people like you and people like me. Look at it as an incredible opportunity. But also, we need to be obedient no matter what the circumstances, because not only was Samuel ministering before the Lord in a land that was in a spiritual drought, but he was going against the flow in comparison to Eli's sons who were degrading the temple of God. Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, we're told, were treating the Lord's offering with contempt. And they were doing some really heinous stuff. They were sleeping with women at the entrance of the tent of meeting. These two guys, they were supposed to be godly men, but yet they were out defiling the temple of God. In contrast with Samuel, who was ministering, what was he doing? He was ministering before the Lord and respecting God's temple. So there's going to be times whenever people who are God seekers are going to need to go against the flow, and you're going to be ridiculed. What's important to you, who guides your life, will be different than what it is for the person who doesn't have God first in their life. So no matter what the circumstances, be obedient. Thirdly, what are some of the characteristics of Samuel as he heard the voice of God? Where was he whenever the Lord came to him? In verse 3, we are told that he's laying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. The ark was symbolic of the presence of the Lord in the midst of his people as we look throughout Scripture. And so what is important about spending time in God's presence to hear his voice? It has everything to do with it, right? You can't hear someone's voice if you're not in their presence these days. It's a hard thing to sometimes, even when you're in someone's presence, to be able to know what they're saying, because you can't see their mouths when you're out in public wearing a mask. It is so important to be in someone's presence. And so how do we spend time in God's presence? You do so by spending time in the Word, studying Scripture. Psalm 119 verse 105 says this, "His Word is a lamp unto our feet." You do so by spending time in prayer, by worshiping and praising God, by spending time with other believers. Check out verse 7. How did he come to recognize God's voice? It was so important for him to be around someone who could help him recognize who it was that was speaking to him. Jesus said in John 10:14, "My sheep know my voice." There's no substitute for spending time in the Lord's presence. And if you want to get to know someone, you've got to spend time together with them, right? And if Jesus has to pull away from people and noise in order to pray, then wouldn't it make sense that we need to do the same thing also? So I want to encourage you, do whatever it takes to spend quality time in Jesus' presence. For some of us, it's so easy just to waste time in all kinds of ways, whether it's on social media, whether it's watching TV, whether it's just, I don't know what we get into, but we find a way to waste time. Let's shut it down. Let's step away from those things. And let's get to spending time with Jesus in his presence. God gets through the silence. And the last characteristic of the person who hears God's voice can be found in the way that they respond. It took Samuel 4 times before he responded to the Lord. He responded the first 3 times by running to Eli, thinking that it was him because he had never heard the Lord speak to him in this way. But whenever he recognized who is speaking with the guidance of Eli, he listened and he responded how? He responded with humble submission. He said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." We need to listen for God's voice and respond in humble submission. So often we think that we are so important that we need to have so much stuff going on in our lives that we don't take time to stop and listen to the voice of the one whom we need to hear more than anyone else. Plenty of times at our dinner table, as we just quiet ourselves to have a word of thanks, give a prayer of thanks for God's provision in our lives, and just to pray as a family, there's that moment of quiet. And in our house, it can oftentimes be so loud, as I've already said, but there in that moment, I'm like, guys, do you hear that? Do you hear it? And they're like, what? And I'm like, do you hear the silence? Like, even now I'm sitting here and I just, as I sit in the quiet, I don't know if you can hear it or not, but I hear the birds. And I hear the birds chirping and singing. There's stuff that you can hear whenever you just sit and be quiet. And for us today, maybe right now, these days are exactly that for us. And maybe that's what God's wanting to get through to us, and we need to be encouraged to just listen. Where he's saying, here, would you just listen to me? You're my child. I love you. I want what's best for you. Listen to me. But I'm not going to overrun you. Generally speaking, that's not how God works. But he wants you to know, and he wants you to hear his voice and to listen. And so there you go. Four things. As we learn to listen, let's be like a child. We need to stick with him through every circumstance. And maybe this is one of those circumstances where this is just a challenging time. We need to continue to seek his face. We need to spend time in his presence. And we need to stop and listen in the quiet. He speaks in ways unique to each of us, but most clearly and surely through his word. We must test everything by his word. And as we close, I want to remind you of what happened to Samuel. After he heard God's voice, his life was changed. But that's not all. The lives of those around him were impacted. In verse 20, we are told that all of Israel attested to the fact that he was a prophet of the Lord. Samuel brought back the word of the Lord into a time when it had been rare, and Israel was changed. That's what happened to God seekers who are listening to the voice of God. Can you imagine being a Samuel in this day and age? Someone whom God uses to speak truth and to bring life back to the dry and spiritually hungry land. I believe that God is calling, that he is looking for Samuels today. And so will you be one of those who says, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So often the problem isn't the activity of listening, though, but my listening heart. Am I being attentive to God? Is my heart soft? Is my heart teachable? Am I remembering his ways and his commands? Am I willing to say, speak, Lord, your servant hears? Let's be a people who are cultivating listening hearts in the midst of the noise from our own hearts, from the world. Are you going to be a person who seeks after God with a childlike heart, with humble obedience, spending time in his presence, listening and responding to his voice? He's looking for you. He's looking for me. He's looking for people who will respond to the call. This morning, maybe God's been speaking to you, and he's calling to you, and you're hearing him, and you've been hearing him over these weeks, and he's inviting you into a relationship with him. This morning, I want to invite you. Maybe you've never taken that step of surrendering and responding to his voice in your life, calling you to trust him and to follow after him. And so this morning, maybe through our time together, it's just become all the more clear. And the question is as clear as ever, will you listen? Will you surrender your life to me? And if you're at that place and you would love to, I'd invite you just to pray this prayer of surrender with me and make a decision to follow after Christ. He loves you more than you know. If you'd like to, just pray this prayer with me. And may this be your heart, and know that your Father in heaven hears your cry, and he welcomes you with arms wide open. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. And if there is anyone here with us who is listening, who is watching, Lord, and they have not yet placed their faith in you, may now be the moment. And that they would respond to your voice that is saying, would you just come? I love you. And that they would respond just with a simple prayer like this: Our Father in heaven, we come to you now. And we know that I need you. I know that I'm a sinner, and I'm asking for your forgiveness. I believe that you've died for my sins, that you've risen from the dead. And I turn from my sins, I repent of my sins, and I invite you to come into my heart and my life. I want to trust and follow and listen to you as my Lord and my Savior and my King. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, we thank you for, God, your kindness to us. We thank you that you are a God who speaks. Lord, we want to be Samuels. A people who are listening for your voice. A people who are surrendered. A people who are childlike in our faith and in our trust. A people who are ready to respond in obedience to whatever you call us to do. And that we would be a people who speak life and hope in the midst of these days. Lord, we love you. We're living for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, well, hey, Todd. So thank you for joining being up for talking here just a little bit about how things are going. I wanted to touch base with you as a representative of someone who's serving in our healthcare field. And I know there's a number of folks in our congregation who serve in this way and who have faced this stuff. And so, number one, I just wanted to just thank you and all the others who are on the front lines dealing with this and caring for us in our health and in the medical field in that sort of way. But this morning, as we've been meeting together, and the focus of the message today is on this whole thing of learning to listen and hear God's voice and what he's teaching us through these days. And so I thought I'd just touch base with you and check in and ask you a few questions and see if you could share a little bit. First one maybe is just what are some of the things that you've experienced or are seeing throughout these days as we're in this season of waiting?
Yeah. Well, thank you, Derek. Thanks to you, to the congregation, and for a lot of people supporting all of us. It's a tough time, as you can imagine. You know, obviously, thanks to all the moms out there, especially Betsy, who has a very busy house with four kids and two dogs, as I've been out and away most of the time. Also, I'll pull this in. I don't know if you can see this. Thanks to Starbucks for being open for drive-through. Otherwise, might be a different story. But you know, I think we're seeing a lot of there's been a lot of change since March in the healthcare field, as you know. So we've totally revamped our processes for caring for patients. There's a lot of fear and anxiety. There's been obviously death and dying that we've dealt with, and that's been sad. And there's a lot of loss of control, which is probably, and that's both, you know, for me, for families, for patients. I think that's been really evident. But in the same breath, there's been a lot of prayers, a lot of love, you know, caring for neighbors. I've received multiple messages, care packages, and things that you know, really have been uplifting. Good. And so that's been great to see.
Awesome. Is there any specific things that you are seeing more of now that maybe not before?
You might have to edit this, but Zoom Butt, if you're familiar with Zoom
Butt.
Yeah. Yeah, I won't go into the great details about the
medical symptoms with that.
But it's sitting on your butt for a very long time on Zoom. So I'll leave it at that, and you can ask me when we meet again in on a Sunday. But
good.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, people are struggling, you know, emotionally, you know, physically, but mentally, and you know, I think that's been really, really hard over this probably the past 2 weeks as you know things kind of continue to extend.
Yeah. Also, just as we think about this and the way that the Lord's working in these days in our lives, like, what are some of the challenges that you've faced or you've seen people going through, and really, like, how is the Lord carried you through these days? Maybe you answered that a little bit ago, but I don't know. Is there anything especially?
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, for me, I'm no different than many of you out there who, you know, have worries, anxiety, you know, loss of control and not being able to kind of be in control of your life. And I think that's probably what's been speaking to me the most. You know, I think there's weariness. So, you know, it's interesting how certain verses or songs have really spoken to me. And I just kind of keep reading them over and over and over again, or listening to them multiple times. And, you know, there's songs that and verses I've read for, you know, many years, but it's, you know, in this moment that it really is a very personal and deep connection, yeah, God, that I'm feeling.
Are there any songs that, especially at this time, that, or words?
I will not sing, or my kids would be like mortified, but so King of Kings, you know, that they talk about, in his freedom I am free, for the love of Jesus Christ has resurrected me. Like, I don't, that just, you think about the freedom.
Yeah.
Christ. And the other one is Waymaker. So specifically, yeah, about, you know, light in the darkness. And it's a tough time, you know, in our communities, in the healthcare field. And so, they've been speaking to me pretty profound.
Cool. Awesome. So I think maybe one last question here, and that is, as we continue to move throughout these days, on behalf of our healthcare workers and those in this field, like, what are some ways especially that we could, that you'd ask for us to pray, or that we could be praying for you all?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I miss seeing the group. I don't even see many of the other healthcare workers, cause we're all kind of, spread out thin across the health system. So, thank you to all of you. I think that, you know, for me, and I think for a lot of us in this, is the, you know, we've been going pretty strong without a break for about 8 weeks now. And lots of meetings, lots of, you know, patient care responsibilities, a lot of call and online coverage. And so, while at the same breath, a lot of people have not been seeking care. And so, you know, they anticipate as things open, you know, we may get, you know, a bit of a surge of just non-COVID related things. And, you know, I think about just prayers that, you know, that weariness that we're feeling, or the fatigue, you know, will just be lifted, that we're able to serve the needs of the people. That's what we're called to do. And so, maybe a few days of vacation, if you could throw that in there, that would be, yeah, awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for, just taking this time to share a little bit about the way that you're seeing the Lord working in your life, and also just in, beyond that, in our,
absolutely,
hospitals, amongst those who are facing a lot of hard times in this way. So I didn't ask you if you'd be up for this before or not, but
I'm ready.
With mask on.
That's great.
Would you be willing to just pray for us all?
I'll take this down.
That's right. For just for your colleagues in this field who are providing care, and just for those in our community.
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah. Thanks,
Dear Heavenly Father. We just thank you for the Devonshire Church family, for Derek, for the leadership, for all the families out there that are watching this morning. Specifically for, you know, my healthcare colleagues and all of us that are caring for the needs of patients, whether it be mental, physical, or otherwise, just give us the strength, Lord, to continue to press on towards the goal. And you know, in Psalm you say that you heal all diseases, and we know that. And we pray for healing for those that are suffering from COVID and even non-COVID ailments. Lord, we just pray for your presence, and you are just leading our community, our state, and our nation. We need you, Lord, more now than ever. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Well, awesome. Well, thanks so much, Todd. And
you bet.
God's carrying us all through this, and he's going to provide all that you guys need, especially.
Sounds good.
As we work throughout this. So awesome. Thanks so much.
All right. Miss you all.
Well, I hope you've been encouraged this morning as we've joined together in this way. I hope that was helpful, hearing from Dr. Todd in how he is hearing the Lord's voice and leading and guiding and sustaining him through these days. And for just all of our healthcare professionals, want to thank you for the work that you're doing. And for all of us, as we journey throughout these days, I'm praying that you'll just continue to learn to listen, that you'll be hearing God's voice and following after his leading, however it is that he's guiding us to love him and to love others more. And so as we go today, I want to share this as our benediction. So keep a firm grip on the faith. The suffering won't last forever. It won't be long before this generous God who has great plans for us in Christ, eternal and glorious plans they are, will have you put together and on your feet for good. He gets the last word. Yes, he does. Have a great week. Love you.